السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، قال جل وعلا: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters and elders, Alhamdulillah, we continue with our series of khutab on the love of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and on the danger of rejecting the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is very painful that one has to emphasize something which should be clear by itself, but what needs to be done no matter how painful. And therefore, these series of khutbahs, I have delivered two, and inshallah today is the third, and I think maybe inshallah next Jumaah we will complete that series. We are talking about the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, where he said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and called him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a ni'mah on the ummah. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهَ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent his ni'mah, has sent his blessing, that he caused to raise from amongst themselves his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do four things. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. To recite the ayat that were revealed on him, to inform the people about the revelation, to purify the people, وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to purify them externally and internally so that they become capable of receiving the recitation, receiving the revelation. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, and then to teach them that revelation. Wal hikmah, and then teach them how to implement that revelation. And as I have mentioned many times before, if somebody claims that Allah preserved the words but did not preserve the method of how this is to be implemented, then this is a sign of complete ignorance and misunderstanding, and obviously that person needs the forgiveness of Allah, needs to make tawbah and needs to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and correct his own aqeedah. So if anyone claims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved aqeemus salah but did not preserve the way of how to do and establish salah, then that person is lying against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For how could Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made salah fard ayn individually compulsory on the person and promised punishment for those who leave it? وَمَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا إِنَّا, what is that? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. They will be asked, what is it that put you into the hellfire? And they will say, we were not amongst those who prayed, we were not among those who established salah. لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the hellfire for those who do not pray. And if somebody is going to tell me or you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only preserved the words Aqimus Salah, but did not preserve how Salah is to be done, then this is a completely insane statement. If Allah had done this, Jalla Jalaluhu, then this would be gross injustice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unjust. Those who deny the sunnah, the importance of the sunnah, and claim that the sunnah is not reliable, and deny the importance of ahadith, are fooling themselves and are lying against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For our part, we need to shun them and shun their company. Sometimes people tell me, why do you say shun them? Why don't you say engage with them and try to guide them? Very simple reason. I am speaking to a general population here. I am not speaking to ulama. If I was speaking to ulama, I would say engage with them and try to deal with them. But I am speaking to a general population. If you engage with them, the likelihood that they will take you down their road is much higher than the likelihood that you will bring them back on the path. And therefore, for your own safety, the best thing is stay away from them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. وَإِذَا قَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Allah did not say engage with the jahilun and try to guide the jahilun. Allah said when you meet the jahilun, then say salam alaikum and walk away. And there is no one more jahil than the one who denies the teachings of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So stay away from them. Now what about those who do not deny and who love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who follow his sunnah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al Imran, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to those who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, if you really love Allah, then emulate me, imitate me, make my ittiba. There is a lecture of mine on the difference between ittiba and ita'at. Listen to that. There are two different words which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used. Allah said, Atiu Allah wa Atiu Rasul, many times in the Quran. Make ita'at of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in this ayah, Allah did not use the word ita'at. Allah used the word ittiba. Ita'at is to obey. For in order to obey, it is essential and necessary for there to be a command to be obeyed. In the absence of a command, obedience is not possible. But for ita'at, which means to emulate or to imitate, there is no command which is required. Ita'at, emulation, is a sign of love. People emulate those they love. People emulate film actors and they emulate basketball players and emulate who all kinds of people who they love. You can see this even where this love is not necessarily expressed in so many words. There are many homes in which if you see the son, he walks and talks just like his father. You can literally sort of see him the way he's walking and talking, and you can see the father. There are people who do imitation and emulation, as we know, they do that as a mark of their branding with the person that they are emulating. How many imitations of Elvis are there? Elvis Presley. There were lots of Elvises in the world. How many imitations many of us have seen, and nowadays I don't see them, but usually used to have these people who used to wear, they used to imitate Gandhiji, and they were, you know, the guy would all actually put on silver paint at the time of Holi, and then he would be wearing those glasses and so on, and he would look like Gandhi. Now, if you see that person, what is the word that comes on your tongue? If you see a guy who's imitating Gandhiji, what do you say? Do you call his name? Do you even know his name? You don't know his name. You're driving down the road, there's some guy who's looking like Gandhi. What do you say? You say Gandhi. He says he's imitating Gandhi. My brothers and sisters, very simple question. What is it worth to you? What is it worth to you that the malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who roam the earth, what is it worth to you that those malaika should look at you and say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the malaika should look at you and send salat and salam on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is that worth to you? I always tell people, sit down and reflect. We have made ilm, instead of being a blessing, we have made ilm a source of fitna for ourselves. We get a little bit of knowledge and we consider ourselves to be great ulama, and then we spend the rest of our life criticizing people. Ilm has become a fitna. See, the things of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, wealth. Alhamdulillah, halal wealth is a blessing. But there are people who have made wealth a fitna and an adab on themselves by how they use this wealth. They even earn it halal, but they use it in ways which are haram. In israf, in doing all kinds of things. How many people are there who bought their sons Harley Davidson bikes and so on and so forth, worth lakhs of rupees, and the next thing you know, your son, somebody phones and says, we have a bike and a mangled body, and you know that that's your son. It happened to people in this masjid itself. Now, if you didn't have that bike, your son would be driving a bicycle. Life and death is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. But your bike became the means, your money became the means of your son ending on the highway dead. You converted your money into a curse for yourself. Similarly with knowledge. The knowledge of Islam, inshallah al-musta'an, is a mercy and it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are those of us who acquire a bit of knowledge and convert it into a curse on ourselves. Because that knowledge gives you arrogance. That knowledge makes you think that you are superior to somebody else. That knowledge gives you, you've got it into this head that your job is to correct people, and you go around criticizing people. And when you can't criticize the people, you bad talk them all over, and so therefore all your deeds are gone to them and you are guilty of backbiting and slander. So that knowledge now has put you, if without the knowledge you were good, without the knowledge you were ignorant, you were humble, you didn't know, you were not bad talking anybody. But the knowledge made you into an arrogant person, which puts you on a slippery slope all the way into the pit. And that is what has done, they say the muhavara in Urdu, Neem Hakim Khatra Ijan. And we say Neem Mullah Khatra Iman. And that is the issue with people who acquire a little bit of information. I don't even use the word knowledge because it is not knowledge at all. And then shaitan uses that information to misguide them and take them down the garden path. And that is exactly what is happening. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this ayat, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبَّنَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. And with respect to this ayat, as I mentioned to you earlier, what is it worth to you that the malaika must look at you and recall Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Because you look like him, because you walk and talk like him, because you deal like him, and the malaika send salat and salam on Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they send blessing on you. What is this worth to you? Second question, this ayat of the Quran, and I'm giving you ayat as dalail, because for those who call themselves Ahlul Quran, I'm giving you dalail from the Quran to show the falsehood of denying the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you are truly Ahlul Quran, then come back to the Quran. Make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this ayat, the question to ask yourself is this. When Allah said, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, that Allah will love you, what is the worth, what is the value of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? I invite all of you tonight before you go to bed. Go home, sit quietly in one corner, take a piece of paper and write, because writing is a very good way of conceptualizing thought. Go and sit down in a corner and ask yourself this question. What is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala worth to me? I'm not saying put a dollar value on it. I'm saying just conceptualize and think. If Allah loves me, so what? Our problem is that we have converted this deen into a bunch of rituals, into a bunch of empty words, which do not do anything to us inside. And that is the root of the problem. And the reason for that is no tarbiyah. Your sheikh is Google. How can you learn knowledge? How can you really get knowledge? You need tarbiyah. You need to go and sit with a sheikh who understands what he is doing, who can diagnose your illness and who can give you a cure. But you need patience for that. And you need to truly fear the day of judgment for that. The acquisition of the knowledge of Islam is not for fun. It's not for entertainment. It's not because you have nothing better to do. It is because this is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam for you and me. And when we don't have tarbiyah, we fall into these traps. So the question to ask yourself is, what is the worth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for me? Allah loves you. You are a wali of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. What does this mean? Does this do anything for you? Does this do anything for you? And if it does not do anything for you, that is a sign of the sickness of the heart. Go and straighten yourself out. Go and sit in a corner and don't get up until make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, show me the value of this. That you love me, show me the value of this. And then watch your stress vanish. Watch your worries disappear. Watch every fear of makhluk from your heart disappear. Watch peace and tranquility descending into your heart like you never felt before. You want this? Is it worth to you? Seriously. Is this worth anything to you? You have no value for it because you get it for free. If it is worth to you, do not go to bed tonight until you go and resolve this by yourself. These lectures and talk and so forth is worthless if it does not bring about internal change. Wallahi. And that internal change only you can bring in yourself. Nobody else can do it for you. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens when you emulate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you? Allah mentioned that He didn't leave it for you and me to guess. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمُ. Allah said, I will forgive your sins. And that is the basic minimum. Allah will forgive your sins. Allah will open doors for you where you did not even imagine there was a door. Allah will remove calamities from you even before you knew there was a calamity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you in your decisions in ways that you cannot imagine. When you need guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send guidance from you, from people you would not have looked for it from. With respect to your children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the tarbiyah of the children from the ghaib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf, which you would have read today, and if you haven't read it, read it. When He mentioned the story of Musa and Khidr alayhimu salam, and He mentioned the story of the two yatims whose treasure was buried under the wall which was falling down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Nabi of the waqt to build the wall. Allah didn't send some manual labor from somewhere. He sent His Nabi to build the wall. And why? Abu Huma Salih. Their father was a salih person. Their father was a muttaqi. This is the value. This is the value. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide your generations after you. Things which you cannot even do if you wanted to, because you would be dead and gone. But if you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you develop taqwa in your heart, then rest assured that your Rabb will not allow them to go astray. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. The one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu guides, nobody can misguide. And the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves, and Allah does not leave randomly. Allah does not leave randomly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the slave stands in salah and his mind starts to wander, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls to him and says, what you are thinking about, is it better than me? And when the slave's mind comes back, alhamdulillah. When the slave's mind wanders again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to him and says, whatever you are thinking about, is it greater than I am? You are standing before me and you are thinking of this and that. Whatever you are thinking about, your worry, your trouble, your trial, your tribulation, whatever wasawis you have, are they better than I am? Are they greater than I am? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the slave's mind wanders again and again, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go and wander like a camel without a tether. Go wherever you like. Not concerned with you anymore. Remove the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and this goes away. The method of salah goes away. Khushu in salah goes away. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu loves those who love his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. This ayat proves, this is the evidence from the Quran, that Allah loves only those who love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah does not love those who do not love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it is evidence that the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not singing nasheeds. It is not singing qawalis. It is not holding big jalsas. It is the ittiba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If somebody claims to love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam but does not make his ittiba, that person's claim is false. I am not saying that. I am not even the judge for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that in the Quran. So what about somebody who disrespects Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I keep on talking about the beard. Why? Not because I have a barber shop. I do not have a barber shop. I also do not have a hijab shop. I say it because the beard is the hukum. It is the itaat and the ittiba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those of you who do not remember the dalail, which I have mentioned many times before, the hadith is very, very clear. My job is to inform you. After that, do what you want. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent a letter inviting the Kisra of Iran, of Persia, the king of Persia, to Islam, he tore up the letter and he ordered the king of Yemen, who was a tributary of Iran, of Persia, to arrest Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and bring him in chains to the court of the Kisra of Persia. And see the arrogance of monarchs. The king of Yemen did not send an army to get Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sent two people. What kind of arrogance is that? What kind of belief in his own power is it that he feels that just two people are enough to arrest this man and bring him sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Two people came. They went to Makkah. And they asked, where is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They said, he is not here anymore. He lives in Medina, in Yathrib. So they came to Medina and they came to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said, we are so and so, we have come from the king of Yemen on the hukam, on the order of the king of Persia, and we have come to arrest you and take you with us to the court of Persia. See the helm of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever the arrogance of the kings of Persia and Yemen may have been, here were two people who were in the power of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever may have been the consequences of that action, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could have had them killed in an instant. He treated them with respect. He treated them with respect. He listened to them and he said, I will answer you tomorrow. And then he looked at them. And these people had big mustaches and they had no beards. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, who asked you to make a face like this? And they said, our Rabb likes this appearance. They used to refer to their king as their Rabb. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed his blessed hand over his beard and his face. And he said, my Rabb has ordered me. And he loves this appearance, and he has ordered me to cut my mustaches and to grow my beard. And he said to the Sahaba, and I order you to cut your mustaches and to grow your beard. So to trim your mustache, not shave it. He did not say shave it. Trim it. To trim your mustache and to grow your beard is the hukum, is the ita'at, is the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about that, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ. The one who has obeyed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person has obeyed Allah. And this behavior is also the ita'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is an expression of the love of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you wish to have an appearance that looks like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when you are shaving your beard, you are directly disobeying Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you are going directly against the ittiba of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Allah ordered you to do. I am standing here in this masjid on the minbar of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I am saying this by the power that Allah has given me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my witness that I have conveyed this to you with the dalil. Have I done it or have I not done it? Can I hear you please? On the day of judgment, you will be witnesses for me and for yourself, or against yourself, your choice. My brothers and sisters, Rasulullah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded people to obey Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did this in many ayat. For example, in Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ. Whatever my Nabi gives you, without a qualification. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Hold it, take it, grab it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever he stops you from, stop from it. Abstain from it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allaha shadidul iqab. Allah did not say Inna Allaha ghafur rahim. He said Inna Allaha shadidul iqab. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very severe in punishment. Take whatever my Nabi has given you. Leave whatever he tells you to leave. And fear my anger, and I am very severe in punishment. What do you understand? What do you understand? My brothers and sisters, you can only fool one person in the world. And if you want to know who that person is, go home and look in the mirror. You fool nobody else. You fool nobody else. Stop fooling yourself. Stop fooling yourself. There is a benefit in obeying Allah. There is harm in disobeying Allah. Get this into your system. Get this into your system. The obedience of Allah has benefit. The disobedience of Allah causes harm. It will poison your life. It will blight your existence. It will become the source of problems for you when you die. Do not do this to yourself. Do not imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the hijab fard only when you are standing in salah. So when you come into the masjid, you cover yourself. And when you go out of the masjid, you remove your hijab. Discretionary obedience, selective obedience, is disobedience and arrogance. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, are you among those, are you going to be those who take from the book some things and obey and you leave the rest of the book? Obedience has an effect. Disobedience has an effect. Make absolutely no mistake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he who obeys Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger, has indeed obeyed Allah. But he who turns away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, grow your beard, trim your mustaches. But you grow your mustaches, you trim your beard, or you remove your beard, you shave your beard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered you to make hijab, to cover yourself, and you choose not to do that. Allah said, the one who obeys his messenger, وَمَنْ يُطِيَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَى اللَّهِ. The one who obeyed the messenger has obeyed Allah. وَمَنْ تَوَلَّ, and the one who refuses and turns away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leave them. We have not sent you as a watcher over them. Leave them to us. I will deal with them. My brothers and sisters, talking about the adab of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain were so respectful of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa, that it is reported in a hadith in Sunan Nasai that they used to sit so still as if there were birds perched on their heads, which would fly away if they made the slightest movement. Imagine the respect of Rasulullah. They would not even move. The Sahaba would sit in his blessed presence with such respect that they wouldn't even move. There is a hadith. Somebody asked Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. They said, describe Rasulullah sallallahu. And he said, I can't describe him. He said, what do you mean you can't describe him? You are in his presence, you spend so much time in his company. What did he look like? What, describe, give us a description. He said, I can't describe him. They said, why? He said, because I never looked directly at his face. I never looked directly at his face, so I cannot describe the details of his blessed countenance. Sounds like fairy tales, no? Sounds like fairy tales. Because we are used to a system where there is zero adab. Zero adab. We don't respect our parents. We don't respect our teachers. Nothing. It doesn't matter what we do and we don't do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the laws. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made anyone who wants to achieve something subservient to those laws. As I always say, I don't make the law, I don't break the law. And if somebody doesn't like it, that's their problem. It's not my problem. You want to fly? You have to go by the law of aerodynamics. You want to succeed in life? You have to go by the same laws made by the same person, by the same one who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who made the laws of aerodynamics. These also are the laws of physics, if you want to call it that way. And what is that law? You want to succeed? Obey Allah. You cannot fly unless you make yourself subservient to the law of aerodynamics. You have to satisfy that law, the conditions of that law. Only then will you take off. A Ferrari will never fly no matter how fast it goes. And a microlight flies at 1/100th of the speed of a Ferrari. Because one conforms to the law of aerodynamics and the other one doesn't. And the same rule applies. You want to succeed in life or you want to fail. When you sit tonight in your home, and what's your homework? Go and sit and do what? You forgot already. You remember. What is it? Satisfy yourself. What does it mean to have the love of Allah? Experience that. Istihzarul ilm. And sit and make this thing clear in your mind. that what is the worth and value of Malaika remembering Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and sending salat and salam on him by looking at you. And when you are doing that, also reflect on this and say, do I want to fail or do I want to succeed? This is not an oxymoronic statement. I am not making a dumb statement, a dumb question. I am asking a very serious question. Satisfy yourself. Sit down and say, do I want to succeed or do I want to fail in every aspect of my life? And then decide what you need to do. It's no mystery. It's absolutely clear. Who will succeed? The one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who will fail? The one who disobeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. We have shown you the paths, the two paths. Make your choice. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.